Good morning, church. Amen. Good morning to everybody online as well, wherever you're tuning in from. May not be morning, but we're glad you're here. Okay, so how are we doing? Yeah, great, good, okay. It's a beautiful day in San Clemente, and I hope you enjoy it together. I just want to say also, I look out, I see a few unfamiliar faces. If you're visiting with us for the first time, thank you for coming, and hope that you can have any of your questions answered, or because a lot of times when you attend a church, you want to know what's going on, what we believe, what we care about, those kind of things. And so please take advantage of that. We have a welcome kiosk out on the patio. You can always log on to our website, pacificcoastchurch.org. You could also download our app. A few ways to get and understand familiar with us here at Pacific Coast Church. But thank you. Thank you for coming. Hope it's profitable. I think most of you know, before I went into ministry, I was in the corporate world, and specifically downtown L.A. I lived in Long Beach and used to commute to L.A. through the Blue Line back in the day, and I was a consultant. And part of consulting was the training, and I remember I had this training on how to give expert testimony in a court. And so we would have this one-day seminar. It's very interesting. It was put on by three attorneys. And the way it went is they basically gave you a case, and you got you familiar with it, you read it, and then you took the stand. And then it was a prosecuting attorney and defense attorney, and so they put you through this. Then they would video it and then review it with you. But it was so enlightening, incredible how they could wrap you in a pretzel in like 10 seconds. I mean, it was like a puppeteer, you know, which string are they gonna pull and just manipulate me around? I mean, literally, it got to the point where they asked a line of questioning to where I effectively admitted I shouldn't be in the courtroom and giving expert testimony. Now, they would review it, let's watch, and right there, okay, see, right there, you got to respond this way, right there, don't take that bait, right there. So effectively, it was like how to not be manipulated in a court. But if we really think about it, manipulation isn't limited to the courtroom. It is everywhere today. It happens on so many levels. Can happen on a business level, can happen in the courtroom, can happen on a personal level, can happen in our relationships, close ones with our spouse, can happen with our friendships, can happen in the church. And when I say manipulation, let me clarify. Manipulation is different than influence. Influence is just trying to have you understand a truth and hopefully motivate you to step into that truth. That's what I'm doing now. I'm trying to influence you based on the truth of God's word and what we study to step into that truth. Manipulation is different. Manipulation involves deceit. So it presents itself as influence, but at the end of the day, there's a completely different agenda. Okay, so I want to make sure that that's understood. In other words, it's presenting that you think I'm thinking this, but in reality, I want to get you over here. And I'm deceiving you in the process, okay? So then when you think about that, think about what you watch on TV, think about what you see in social media, and also think about the relationships and how we can even do that with one another, maybe without even knowing that. But the real question is when it happens, not if, when it happens, are you like the puppet? Can you be manipulated easy? Can you be deceived easy? Or is there a way that you can grow and mature or in things that you can employ to keep yourself protected and keep yourself healthy, to avoid it? Because it's everywhere. And it's the language of the enemy. Last week we talked about lying. Manipulation is just a form of lying. But I'm going to talk about that this morning. I've entitled this morning's message, The Puppet Challenge, and we're going to look at how to avoid being manipulated. So we're talking to the manipulated, not the manipulator. Don't have a message for you today other than repent and don't do it, because effectively it's a form of lying. But for those of us that can be manipulated and can fall into those traps, hopefully we'll get some practical insight, because Jesus is our model. We're going to be looking at John chapter 18, verses 19 and following, and Jesus is our model. And he finds himself in a very manipulated situation, actually a courtroom, an informal courtroom, the court of Annas, or Annas is how it's pronounced, Annas, and he's one of the old high priests. He was an ex-high priest. He was a high priest during that time for 10 years, was removed by Rome. His son-in-law was put into place, Caiaphas. But if you remember in our study through the Gospel of John, Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is betrayed, Judas shows his colors, the guards show up, they arrest him, they take him to Annas's house, or courtyard area, his residence, if you will. Remember last week, Jesus denied and lied about, or sorry, Peter denied and lied about knowing Jesus, so we talked about lying last week. But this week, now we get to see Annas in action and Jesus handling it and how he handled it. And so let's pick it up. Verse 19, we're talking about Annas here. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Now, we're not given the questions here. No doubt he's fishing. Like I said, this is an informal courtroom, because after this, he gets sent to Caiaphas's residence, which is probably in the same region, actually. And there you have the Sanhedrin that is present, and you have some other things. But we're looking at this piece. So what's Annas doing? He's fishing. He's questioning about the disciples. What would he want to know about the disciples? Well, we know that the goal here is to execute Jesus. That's plain and simple from John 11. Caiaphas said, it's better for one man to die than the whole nation suffer. And everybody in the leadership at that time said yes. So from that point on, they had a contract out on Jesus's life. So now that he's, quote, arrested, now they got to figure out how to get him to a capital punishment. They got to find some information. They got to cook the books. They got to come up with something. And so he's asking about the disciples, I would argue, because he wants to know the extent of the risk. In other words, you could take Jesus out, but how many disciples are there? Is there another ringleader that'll take over? Is there an insurrection that could take place? He's trying to assess the risk. But not just that. He also questions him about his teaching. Now, this is where the manipulation starts. And they're trying to really make Jesus their puppet. Because if they can get something on him that they can say blasphemy, then blasphemy deserves death. They want Jesus dead. So he's not going, I want to get to the truth. Now that I have Jesus in front of me, I want to get to the bottom of this. I want to see where Jesus is really at, what he truly believes. Maybe we shouldn't have him here in court. Maybe we should let him go. No, that's not the goal at all. So there's this presenting of questioning, like, I'm going to learn, I'm going to understand, and that's not my goal. My goal is to find what I want so I can put you to death. Keep reading. Jesus answered him, I have spoken openly to the world. I've always taught in the synagogues and in the temple, where all Jews come together. Notice he's not saying anything about the disciples. Doesn't even go there. He said, I've said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I've said to them. They know what I said. So he's saying, you know, if you're trying to create a private Jesus and a public Jesus, a private teaching and a public teaching, which you guys often have, I've been out there. I haven't been secret. You've seen me, you've heard me, you've watched me. Why do you question me? Now, that's a legal statement, because it was against the law to self-incriminate yourself. So he's keeping them on track with the law. Why do you ask me? Ask others. He's not biting. He's going, you're trying to bait me in to the details of my teaching, to the what I had, what he said, what she said, what I meant, he meant. He's going, you know what? Number one, you shouldn't be asking me. Number two, ask others. Not going to go there. And this is super important because this is an area where if we're being manipulated, we can get completely duped because we start to go into that. We start to go into, well, what teaching are you talking about? Well, when you said, yeah, but what I meant, well, you're putting words in my mouth, and you're off to the races. The strings start to get attached. So this is important when we talk about how to avoid being manipulated. Number one, don't engage in the details. Don't engage in the details. Manipulative people will try to take you down a path by engaging in details. Not because they want to learn, because they're looking for strings to pull. And notice Jesus had a very abbreviated response and never answered their question. He asked a question. Why do you ask me? Not going to go there. And this is how the enemy works, actually. When you think about it, we're in our sinful condition today, needing a Savior today because of manipulation. It goes all the way back to Genesis 3. Do you remember when Satan was tempting Eve? I would argue manipulating Eve. Remember what he said? So why don't you eat from that tree? Oh, I'm not supposed to. Because God said, if we eat of it, we'll surely die. Well, you'll not die. So he lied right there. But then what? Now we know details. Now we're going to get into the weeds. You'll be like God. You'll understand good and evil. He just didn't say, no, you won't die. No, we're going to go there. We're going to rope you in with more and more discussion to where finally she bit and so did Adam. We're in the situation we're in today because of manipulation. So this is very spiritual as well. I had a guy the other day, was in a gas station. And it was just this subtle thing. And again, some of us can fall into manipulating others and we don't even know it. So there is some application here, I guess, for the manipulator. This guy, I'm putting gas in my car, and another guy's putting gas in his car, and he's four pumps away, and he just yells out, "How's your day been?" Good. You do anything fun? And I thought, what is going on here? I don't even know this guy. And he's smiling. Not really. Nice day, huh? Beautiful day, huh? Yeah. Then I got closer, and I saw a name tag. Okay, I know who you are, and I know what you're trying to do. So I just said, oh, are you how he's affiliated. He says, yeah, you know any of us? I said, I do, actually. Oh, I said, you want to come to church? He goes, what time? But I'm just highlighting. It's not about whether I had a good day. It's not about whether I did anything fun. It's about an agenda that if he would have just come up to me and said, hi, I'm a so-and-so. Would you like to know more about it? Okay, that's cool. But there's this, and so it's so subtle. That's so minor, but that's how it works. And so as people, especially honest people, especially naive people, and I don't want to make us a bunch of cynics that are always thinking everybody's manipulating us, but we do have to keep our head up because that's the world that we live in today, is the content. And especially if we hear stuff that's contradictory. Well, wait, that's not what I said. Well, hold on, that's not what I meant. Well, hold on, in an argument state, you're putting words in my mouth, and we get involved. And see, when we get involved, then we get engaged. And when we get engaged, we provide more paths for the manipulator to manipulate us. Because it's not about the truth. It's not about finding out. It's about an end game. I'm going to win. You're going to lose. And so that's the piece we got to be aware of. Or the nice guy approach. Hey, how you doing? Nice dog there. Love your kids. What's going on? What do you want? See, what do you want? So I don't know if that's helpful for you, but you got to think about it. There's no amount of content or there's no amount of detail that's going to change a manipulator's approach. It's not like, oh, you answer that one question. He answers one question about the teaching, and then it's over. No, there's going to be follow-up, 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 until you get to the end game that they want, that you don't know about, that they're trying to manipulate through. So this is the key. Maybe the easy way, and we could do it Jesus style, when you feel manipulated and somebody's asking you a question, just ask them a question back. That's what I did with this guy. I said, are you, we'll just cut right to it. He goes, yeah. And then what was amazing is after that, the manipulation stopped. I said, are you on mission? Yeah. Pretty good location though, huh? Yeah, my brother got, sent off to Africa and had to learn another language. I was assigned to Newport Beach. And before you know it, we're just talking normal. It shut it down. So, anyway. Don't engage in the details. They won't help. You may think they'll help. You may think if you go down this form of reasoning that it'll bring clarity and it'll all stop. It'll just lead to more and more, and it's a never ending because there's a different agenda than you know about. When he had said these things in verse 22, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, is that how you answer the high priest? Jesus answered him, if what I said is wrong, bear witness to about what is wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me? Notice another question again. Didn't engage on what the officer was trying to accuse him of being out of line, being indignant, being rude. We can assume Jesus didn't do that. By the way, it was illegal for an officer to hit a defendant. Couldn't do that. That's why he said, why are you hitting me? But we see that the officer did it because Jesus either, he was frustrated, Jesus wasn't cooperating. Maybe he's trying to score points with Annas. Maybe Annas gave him a little wink and said, hit him. We don't know. But he was trying to, again, engage him. But now not on a content level. He's trying to engage him on an emotional level. He's trying to get him engaged. He's sensing this distance, and he's trying to go, no, you're going to come in. And Jesus didn't take it. And so this is another way to avoid being manipulated is don't emotionally engage. Don't emotionally engage. I want you to notice that in verse 24, when Jesus didn't emotionally engage, he just asked a question, Annas was done. He knew he wasn't going to get anywhere with Jesus. He wasn't going to be able to manipulate him. He asked him two questions. Jesus responded with two questions, and it was over. It's a temptation to be emotionally, to be manipulated, to become emotional. It feels hurtful. It feels disrespected. It feels... I mean, right? If I said, show of hands, how many are fine with being manipulated? Nobody wants to be manipulated. So this is where the fruit of the Spirit kicks in. Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, wait for it, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, here it is, self-control. Against such things there is no law. How many of you are watching playoff hockey? Yeah. Three of you. I knew it. So let's just chat here for a second. You know how in playoff hockey, there's a lot of manipulation that goes on the ice between players. And a lot of it has to do with trying to frustrate the opponent, to engage them emotionally, to make a mistake, i.e., I'm going to nudge you, I'm going to pop you, and then I'm going to trash talk you, and then you're going to punch me. And you punch me, it's a penalty, you go in the box, we score a goal. But the goal in my little just agitation of you is to get you engaged to where you'll make a mistake. Well, that's what they do. It's not about, hey, that was wrong. Well, you're right, punch, punch. It's like, no, I want you to punch me. I'm even going to let you punch me so you end up in the penalty box. So we see it in sports, but it goes on all the time because the enemy knows that if you emotionally respond or get emotional, you probably do a lot of things you regret. If you think back through your life, those things that you regret the most, you were probably the most emotional about. You got hot, you got heated, you got frustrated, you're done, I can't take it. I just had it happen last week. Somebody said something that triggered me, and I was feeling it. I was like, I haven't felt this feeling, and you know what? I'm not going to feel this feeling. You know, that's what I felt like. I'm done with this. You know, so I do my 24-hour rule. Don't do anything, don't say anything, don't engage in anything related to that for 24 hours. It was amazing how a day later, I didn't care about it anymore. What is that emotion? So do you know your triggers emotionally? Because the enemy does. And a lot of times those we're closest to do as well. That's why we can be triggered by our friends, by our spouse, by our neighbors, by our coworkers. And a lot of times just the manipulation is I'm gonna win and you're gonna lose. And so the triggers and then the emotions. And let's bring in some details from the past. And let's engage, and let's prove, and you feel yourself being manipulated again. And the key is the emotions. Jesus could have emotionally responded. He could have slapped the guy back, or he could have just struck him dead. He had the power to do that. He told Peter, don't you think I have 12 legions of angels I could call instantly and deal with this stuff? So he could have just cooked the whole room and walked away and went, you know, and we'd have had our little Terminator movie. But he didn't. It's why we got to be on guard against ourselves, actually, in this case. So do you know your triggers? Because the enemy does, and he'll try to manipulate and use those triggers all day long. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. Well, wait a second. What just happened? 24 says, Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. That's Pilate. What happened? Well, there was a whole trial that took place at Caiaphas's house that John, our author, doesn't cover. So from his perspective, it's not necessary to cover that based on the truths he's trying to teach us. Also, don't forget that John's gospel was written at the end. It was the last gospel written. So they already had what are called the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So they already had the stories. So a lot of times John will skip that, knowing that that's out there, only to deal with the other parts of the details. Because if you look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they don't even cover Annas in the trial. With Annas. So what took place there was more of an official trial. Like I said, the Sanhedrin were there. They brought in two witnesses. It was a little more, but Jesus still dealt with them the same way. Very abbreviated response. Didn't get emotionally engaged. And but now we have it. That's over. And now they're going to Pilate. the governor's headquarters. And the text says it's early in the morning, and they themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled but could eat the Passover. Oh, well, this is rich, right? I mean, in the midst of breaking a law multiple times, I told you the trial was illegal if it was held at night. To have a capital punishment verdict, you had to wait 24 hours after the verdict to even discuss it with Pilate. They blew that. Anything that's associated with blood money, which was with Judas because he was paid, would reject it. You couldn't self-incriminate. You couldn't hit somebody that hasn't gotten the verdict yet. So you got to love this, that in the midst of all their violations of all the legal laws, they're worried about a little ceremonial law, right? In the midst of effectively committing murder, they're worried about committing some ceremonial sin so they could participate in the Passover, i.e. lead it. So they stayed outside the governor's mansion because he's a pagan. He's an idol worshiper, and if we step foot in there, we're defiled. But this is how it goes. This is the classic scenario about manipulators. They don't see themselves. They're blinded to themselves. And so it's important we know that and remember that and never forget that. Otherwise, we'll be manipulated. What do you mean? Well, I put it this way. How to avoid being manipulated? Expect to see hypocrisy. Expect to see hypocrisy on those that are trying to manipulate you. Because by definition, their manipulation is hypocrisy. They're presenting one thing and it's really another. So anything else is going to be associated with is going to take place. Don't be shocked. It's when you're shocked or you say, that's not right, or can you believe it? Look at them. They're accusing me of the very thing they're doing. Yes, I know. They're manipulating you and they're hypocrites. But if you take that bite now, you jump back in. Now you're going to start defining all the details. Now you're going to start highlighting all the hypocrisy. And it's going to, have you ever seen that on TV happen? Yeah. Has it helped anything? No, it just keeps going. And you get in the wheel. Matthew 23 is when Jesus called out all the religious leaders. It's one of your daily devotions. I encourage you to look at it this week. But the theme is, you're manipulating people and you're living in hypocrisy. You're manipulating people and you're living in hypocrisy. So don't be surprised. Expect it. And don't be shocked by it. And don't try to correct it. And don't jump in the weeds and kind of mess around with it. I had a guy, this reminded me of a counseling appointment I had. It's been a number of years. It was this guy I talked to in the patio, and he was asking about the theology of the church. What do we believe? And I could tell he was a challenging kind of guy. Well, what do you think about this? And don't you think that should be? And he made an appointment, actually came in and talked to me. Because, you know, he used $10 words, you know. So you got complimentary, or you egalitarian, or you know, you all mill, pre mill, or post mill, or you know, do you believe in the limited atonement, or you know, just all this kind of stuff. It's like, boy, dude, deep breath, have a donut, right? So we got through it. 3 weeks later, appointment on my calendar, him and his wife. He came in because he was involved in a 2-year affair. Weren't you the guy that was bogging down in whether Jesus is coming back before or after the tribulation? He was manipulating the situation. He was trying to present and cover to his wife that he cared about the spiritual protection of their home, that he was going to make an appointment with the pastor to make sure that they're at a Bible-believing church, and da-da-da-da, and meanwhile, he's sleeping around for the last 2 years. Hypocrite. Because he's manipulating. Wow. But to be expected, makes sense if he's trying to manipulate. And I'm not the first one he's trying to manipulate, and his wife isn't the second one. He's probably manipulating the person that he's sleeping around with. And the list goes on. So I say all that to say this, don't be surprised. It's part of the landscape. So don't be naive. Now again, we're not trying to create a bunch of cynics here this morning. I don't trust you, I'm avoiding you, I'm not gonna talk to you, you know. You'll sense it, you'll know when it's starting to take place and your interaction with others is there. The thing is, what do you do with it when you know? And that's the goal. And let me just highlight this. You know, I dealt with this on some daily devotions. I covered Caiaphas's deal. And in fact, we're gonna have our grow groups this week take communion. Because the other piece to this is the sufferings of Jesus. Here he is falsely accused. Here he is the Son of God that's slapped by some minion called an officer. Here he is interrogated by Annas and Caiaphas, and they're all unethical and evil. And then the couple friends that he had, they all split, and Peter ended up denying him. There's a suffering there. That's not just physical suffering hanging on a cross. There's an emotional deep suffering that Jesus went through for me and for you. But I highlight this because responding to manipulators will feel like a suffering. But you'll be joining hands with Jesus. There's fellowship in the suffering. Because it isn't right. But what do we do with that? Don't engage in the details, don't get emotionally connected, and don't be surprised when you see hypocrisy. And know your limits. Know your limits. My wife, I don't know about the neighborhood you live into, but we get people knocking on our door every so often, trying to sell us stuff. Some try to manipulate. Some just inform. But my wife knows that she's a sucker for it every time. Somebody will knock at the door and then she'll come back and go, "Are you free next Monday night?" It's like, why? Well, this guy out there, you know, and this is where it started, you know, and he, you know, and his daughter's in the, you know, cab of the thing, and they don't have money, and we don't have money. So now she doesn't even, she just answers the door. They say, "Hey, how you doing? You want to save some money? Want your house worth more? Your neighbors are involved?" She goes, "You got to talk to my husband." Now, I'm not the ogre that goes out there and goes, "Get out of my house. I'm not engaging in details nor emotionally charged. Move on." I'm nice. And they try it. "You want to save some money?" "Yeah, I do. And unless you can save me $1,000 a month, I'm not interested." No, actually, I don't. I'm usually pretty easygoing, and it doesn't matter how I handle salespeople. You handle them how you want. Let's stick with the topic. But she knows her limits, and it's important that we know our limits too. And have accountability, maybe even in our life, with people we know and love that help us to this. So it's a real thing. It's definitely in our world. Manipulation is the language of today. And deceit, trickery, to get you from here without you knowing it. And so hopefully the model that Jesus gives us, because it shut it down. Oh, the verdict was there because they were corrupt and they were gonna do what they were gonna do, and it was all part of God's plan anyway. But man, we get a real good insight from our Lord. And Lord, we do thank you for that. And just to see, these people trying to manipulate and protect themselves and their influence and their power at your expense, and just how you walk through it. So stabilizing, and didn't get caught in it. Lord, I pray for us right now. Maybe some of us are in a very manipulating situation right now. Maybe it's going on at work. Maybe it's going on in our homes. Lord, give us wisdom. Maybe we haven't responded in the right way. And maybe we've engaged too much. And we clearly see, Lord, that that's the theme here is engagement. Just not to be engaged like you weren't. So give us wisdom for that. Help us to protect our walk with you and our souls and our heart, just to keep it healthy and not be manipulated. So, Lord, we need wisdom in the specific areas of our own lives where this applies. But we thank you for the insight we get from you in the midst of that kind of situation. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week. Thanks for coming.